हरे ॐ सदा भवतु सदा भवतु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
He of long arms and eyes like lotus petals, and possessed of illustrious reputation, coming out of Girivraja, stopped for some time on a level plain outside the town. O king, all the citizens then with the brahmanas at their head, hastened thither to adore him with due religious rites. And the kings who had been released from confinement worshipped the slayer of Madhu with reverence, and addressing him with eulogies said, O thou of long arms, Thou hast today rescued us, sunk in the deep mire of sorrow in the hand of Jarasandha. Such an act of virtue by thee, O son of Devaki, assisted by the might of Bhima and Arjuna, is most extraordinary. O Vishnu, languishing as it were in the terrible hill fort of Jarasandha, it was verily from sheer good fortune alone that thou hast rescued us. O son of the Yadu race, and achieved thereby a remarkable reputation. O tiger among men, we bow down to thee. O command us what we shall do, however difficult of accomplishment. Thy command being made known to us, O Lord Krishna, it will at once be accomplished by us. Thus addressed by the monarchs, the high-souled Hrishikesh gave them every assurance and said, Yudhishthir is desirous of performing the sacrifice of Rajasuya. That monarch, ever guided by virtue, is solicitous of acquiring the imperial dignity. Having known this from me, assist him ye in his endeavors. Then, O king, all those monarchs with joyous hearts accepted the words of Krishna, saying, So be it. And saying this, those lords of earth made presents of jewels unto him of the Dasarha race. And Govinda, moved by kindness towards him, towards them, took a portion of those presents. And because Krishna, everything is his anyway, so it's just you're handing him back stuff that's already his. But because it's in your possession by, you know, one's work, one has that idea that it belongs to you, then that you're parting with it, then Krishna, you know, takes that as nice, you know. Does that make sense? So it's the endeavor that's important. You know, like the child goes out into the mother's, you know, flower garden, picks a flower from that, gives it to the mother, you know, as something. So it's her flower anyway, right? And she's going to pick it and put it on, you know, some vase on the table or something, you know, like this. But that he's done that, then that's, you know, considered, it's the endeavor, right? So we always remember it's the endeavor that's important, not the result, right? Result is for someone else, right? In any case, therefore, what's in our power is the endeavor to get that result, right? Does that make sense? Right? Because the modern is always on accomplishment, which is not wrong, but just that it's on accomplishment and that accomplishment is simply for oneself, then miss the point, because where's the sacrifice? And human life means sacrifice. Right? It's meant for sacrifice, meant for yajna. So that means in all aspects, then it can be done for someone else. Does that make sense? So, like that, then the same element we see here, that Krishna is just the endeavor of the living entity to serve him. So it's the same in any other relationship. It's that endeavor to make the relationship work that actually generates the relationship. For those not understanding this, they may be absorbed just in the results. So you're in it for the results with the other person. And you get the results, and then that's great. You know, it was a nice camaraderie, like, but it wasn't a relationship. Does that make sense? A relationship means that you are doing it, you know, in a way to please them. You're doing it nicely. You're having a company of people that are doing things, that you're doing it nicely so that they are happy with your, you know, endeavor. And the results will come, whatever they're going to come. Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's how it works, you know? Yeah? Does that make sense? So at all times, no matter what you're doing, you still have the option of working for others, even though you may get a result from it. But you're working for the others, that part is not for result. That's for the relationship. Right? And then the result you're getting is also going to be used for someone else. Does that make sense? It'll be used for Krishna, it'll be used for other projects, other devotees, it'll be used for the family who are devotees who you're training as, even if something goes for yourself, but that's for yourself is to use in Krishna's service. Right? But the mood is sacrifice, not that, ooh, I found a great loophole where I connected everything to Krishna and I get everything I want. Isn't that great? I got my cake, I'm eating it, hey, this is great. No. Because the mood's wrong. Right? The position is okay, but the mood's wrong, so therefore you'll get less result. That at least you've made the endeavor, because it's endeavor, to connect it to Krishna, you'll get benefit from that. But the strength of his connection is weak. But it's there. Right? So it's a matter of, one can start there, but it has to go beyond that. Otherwise that place, one will stay there, ego will come up, and then the controlling and enjoying propensity, and then your actual sacrifice will be lost. Because it won't really be connected anymore. Because the point is yourself, you'll more and more pull it to yourself side. You know, stuff like, okay, you know, you're the temple president and, you know, you need a vehicle to get around. And so you get yourself some little funny little car, but then, you know, because everybody else does all your service and you just sit in your apartment all day, you know, on the internet and all that. So then, you know, something has to be busy. The wife has to be busy. So then you have to get something a little bit better. Okay, well, why don't we get one of those minivans? You know, we need that for the temple and the devotees can go on programs and that. Of course, once you get it, the devotees never are allowed to use it for programs because they might trash it or that. So only the president and his wife uses it. But then they're driving around and then, what happens if, you know, how you say a lightning bolt strikes, you know, in the middle of the road and you veer off the road and you have to go off the road a little bit and drive through, you know, some country. So therefore, the temple president should buy, you know, a 4x4, you know, let's say, a Land Rover, a Toyota or something like that, you know, for his safety, you know, because it's very important that he stays in his apartment and does email while everybody else in the yatra works to pay for his Toyota. Right? So this is someone who's absolutely missed the point of his position in Krishna consciousness. Absolutely. They've taken everything and done it. So this is what I'm meaning. They've connected it to Krishna, seemingly. So just that they made the endeavor to connect it, that little bit they will get benefit for. But in actuality, how much of that is really connected to Krishna? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, unless everybody else is driving around and, you know, hey, devotees need to be safe, so, you know, we're going to buy, you know, 10, you know, 4x4s here for all the devotees. And, you know, since it's the standard temple car, the president will have one also. That's a completely different story. Right? Does that make sense? So, this is reality in that this happens. Devotees make this mistake because the sense of sacrifice is not there. So the mood is wrong. Right? And we always remember is in the verb, the mood is part of it. Right? The mood's not right, relationship doesn't work. So then if your mood's not right, how your relationship with Krishna will be dynamic. it will legally be there. Right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know, it's like the family members. They are legally one unit. But unless they're cultivating the relationship, that's a different story. You know what I'm saying? There's the position. We are servant of Krishna. He is the Lord. But now, are we acting in that way? Is that our purpose? Right? Then the relationship becomes dynamic. Otherwise, it's just legal. You know what I'm saying? It's just the law. It's the tattva. Does that make sense? So there's two things there. There's the sambandha, but without the abhideya, it doesn't become dynamic. You know what I'm saying? Sambandha is, this is what the relationship is, but by abhideya, you make the relationship alive. You make it happening. Right? Otherwise, it's not happening. You know, so many people have so many relationships, but is it happening? That's the question. So it's through the endeavor that it is. So that's why for Krishna it's the endeavor that's important, not the result. Because the result is supposed to be given to someone else anyway. Right? If you're mundane, it's given to somebody, you know, within the mundane sphere. Right? Does that make sense? Either personal or extended like that. Or you're doing it because it's just the righteous thing to do, because then by that you'll get the pious results from having given away that result. You know what I'm saying? So there's some limit to the sacrifice. Or I give up everything here, but I'll become God and merge in the Brahman. So in other words, you're giving up the immediate result for a long-term result. Right? But devotion means you're giving up the immediate result for devotion to Krishna, which is then for his pleasure. So both go to him. Does that make sense? You're giving it up for the other's satisfaction. The others are, I'm giving it up for my satisfaction. Right? But just because you're giving it up, people see the immediate cause. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why people only look that much. They don't look more. Right? It means something goes wrong in your life, right? It's someone else's fault. Because you're looking for something immediate. You don't look at bigger than that. Does that make sense? So in the same way, as long as for someone who doesn't have that depth of the vision, therefore his immediate, what he's giving up, is glorious. Because that's all the further he sees. He'll start there. By giving that up, one will become purified. One will be able to see the giving up, you know, in the final sense. Right? That's why it says ultimate goal. Right? Because otherwise, then we may give up these other ones, but not the final one. Does that make sense? So that's the idea of Krishna consciousness, cultivating all that. So then we see this from here, that Krishna says, Krishna, how do you say? Moved by kindness, he accepted. Right? In other words, that you'll interact, that's kindness. Right? But Krishna's not proud. Because it is all his anyway. You know? So therefore then, with that goes then, with these good qualities, goes the humility, tolerance, respect, all these things. Then relationships become very dynamic. Right? Does that make sense? Vaishampayana said, then the son of Jarasandha, the high-souled Sahadev, accompanied by his relatives and the principal officers of state, with his priest in front, came thither. Right? See, the priest always is leading the kshatriyas. Right? The prince, bending himself low and making large presents of jewels and precious stones, worship Vasudev, that god among men. Then that best of men, Krishna, giving every assurance unto the prince, afflicted with fear, accepted those presents of his of great value. Krishna joyfully installed the prince there and then in the sovereignty of Magadha. So, but he was already installed before? Why would he be installed again?
Was that taken over the kingdom?
Yes, means Jarasandha was in charge of the kingdom. He put his son on the throne. But now that Krishna and company have defeated him, you know, because he's the king, they've defeated his father. Now they're actually the lords of the kingdom. So now if they want him to be there, they install him. If not, they'll install their own man. You know, but it will be somebody that the citizens will appreciate, Right? That's the whole point, is the king must establish someone that he's comfortable with and the citizens are comfortable with. So here, Krishna, then, you were going to say something.
You know, just that the citizens have to have faith.
Yeah, citizens have to have faith. Yeah. It's very important that the citizens have faith, because otherwise how they'll follow the king? Right? You're defeating a monarch not to defeat monarchy. You're defeating monarchy to enhance monarchy. Right? At least to maintain it. Right? So that's why in the position, if you, when you're dealing, we see when Priyavrata? No, Priyavrata was the son. Uttanapada. Yeah, when Uttanapada, then he was going to put someone on the throne. Then he himself was convinced that Dhruva was the right person. But that wasn't enough. Then he goes and sees with the, you know, the ministers and the gurus, the heads of state, if they're comfortable with it, because they're the mature ones and they have to work with them. If they're comfortable, then he checks with the citizens. You know, not by vote, but you know, you can find out what the citizens like by gossip, right? That's all you have to do. Send someone out down to the tea stall and, you know, say, hey, I heard they're gonna, you know, and then see what people say. So, you know, enough tea stalls to get a good idea. You know. Does that make sense? So, yeah. I was going to say, in the devotee context, you know, it's like, so, that round seat, you know, in the temple courtyard where everyone's eating pizza, and you throw out the point and see what everybody says and stuff like that. You know. Okay, so then in other words, all that, then it's good. The person that's responsible should be satisfied. Person in charge should be satisfied. You know, I mean, those who are in charge should be satisfied. And the people should be satisfied. So in here, so then, you know, Krishna's satisfied. His ministers are there and they're not objecting. And then the citizens. So it's already known before, Jarasandha is going to follow that. So the citizens and ministers were there. Now it's simply who's in charge. Like that. Right, and then Krishna giving every assurance unto the prince, right? Because he's afflicted with fear. He doesn't know what's going to happen. So he gives him, you know, protection and everything like that. So he's satisfied, right? Then he can properly perform his duties. Right? Fear is not good enough to make people work. You can use it as a tool sometimes for those who are out of hand. Those who don't have the character or, you know, leadership ability, you may use fear, right? Because they can't lead, they're not following, so you use fear, right? If they can lead or they can follow, then fear isn't the main principle. Does that make sense? And the strong-armed and illustrious... And the strong-armed and illustrious son of Jarasandha, thus installed on the throne by those exalted of men, having obtained the friendship of Krishna and treated with respect and kindness by the two sons of Prita, re-entered the city of his father. Right, so he's treated with respect and kindness, right? Because he's a junior king, but he's still treated with respect. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Prabhupada, okay, told the story of one king, when it was, I think it was when, what's his name, came? The Macedonian?
Alexander,
when he came and he defeated one king, captured him. So then he asked, how should I treat you? And then the captured king looked at him and said, like a king, of course. Right? Because that's the whole point, is that's how they would deal. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so there was some dignity previously, like you see, World War I, only the aristocracy would fly the biplanes, you know, like that. You know, a bomb meant, you know, you had it sitting there, you know, next to you, and then when you drive by, you pick it up with your hand, throw it overboard, right? You know? So if they'd shoot them down and they'd capture them, they would treat them with all respect in that. You know, they'd sit and they'd party and talk stories and this and that, and then they'd let them go. You know, they weren't treated as ordinary men. like that. World War II, you'd see some of that with the high, high officers amongst other high officers. They might deal with them respectfully. Nowadays, you don't really see that much. But, you know, so it was standard, is that someone would be respected for their position even if they were junior to you. Like that. So that's nice. You know, and kindness means there's a relationship. Yes.
Now the high officers are all in their office.
Yes, high officers are in their office. Yes. Yes, like that. Well, you know, you have to, the computer's in the office. You know, can't push the send button by, how you say, telepathy. That bull amongst men, Krishna, accompanied by the sons of Prita, and graced with good fortune, left the city of Magadha, laden with numerous jewels. Accompanied by the two sons of Pandu, Achyuta arrived at Indraprastha, and approaching Yudhishthira joyfully, addressed that monarch, said, O best of kings, from good fortune the mighty Jarasandha hath been slain by Bhima, and the kings confined at Girivraja have been all set free. From good fortune also these two, Bhima and Dhananjaya, are well and arrived. O Bharata, at their own city, and arrived, O Bharata, at their own city unwounded. Then Yudhishthira worshipped Krishna as he deserved and embraced Bhima and Arjuna in joy. The monarch, who had no enemy, having obtained victory through the agency of his brothers in consequence of the death of Jarasandha, gave himself up to pleasure and merriment with all his brothers. The eldest son of Pandu, Yudhishthira, together with his brothers, approached the kings who had come to Indraprastha. Right? So something nice has been done. And it's been done for Krishna. So there's some merriment, but it's still within rules. Does that make sense? So even their merriment is according to the rules. Right? And it's all in connection to Krishna. Krishna has accomplished it with his brothers. The Rajasru is being done under under Krishna's, how you say, approval and guidance. Does that make sense? So Krishna consciousness isn't boring and dry. It's just that our happiness is connected to Krishna. Right? It's not connected to Krishna. That we're not interested in. But it doesn't mean that, you know, if you go into the dried fruit section, that the prunes are the Paramahamsas. Right? That's not the principle. Right? The eldest son of Pandu, Yudhishthira, together with his brothers, approached the kings who had come to Indraprastha, entertaining and worshipping them, each according to his age, dismissed them all. Right? So they're kings, so they're respected, but according to their age, you know, then they'll be dealt with, like that. Because generally it would be they're all, you know, like this, so age would be a consideration. They must have been equal in power, so therefore age would be the consideration. Otherwise, then knowledge, that will be counted as maturity or sacrifice. But in here, it's not necessarily known that they're specifically, you know, great at sacrifice. They're renowned for their sacrifices, that Jarasandha is. These other kings, they're known for that. That's why it's mentioned. Jarasandha is powerful, right? He's knowledgeable. He's performed sacrifice. Right? He performs charity. So all these things to be respected, that's why they're mentioned. But these kings, you know, are probably smaller kings, haven't done that much. Therefore, they're basically equal, so then by age, then they'll be respected. Okay? Commanded by Yudhishthira, those kings with joyful hearts set out for their respective countries without loss of time, riding upon excellent vehicles. Thus, O king, did that tiger among men, Janardana of great intelligence, cause his foe Jarasandha to be slain through the instrumentality of the Pandavas. O Bharata, that chastiser of all foes, having thus caused Jarasandha to be slain, took leave of Yudhishthira and Prita, Draupadi and Subhadra, Bhimsema and Arjuna, and the twins Nakula and Sahadeva. Okay. There's two things. One is these kings are riding on excellent vehicles, right? They were in jail. They were there with nothing, you know, except for probably the jewels they're wearing or something. So how did they have vehicles? Yeah, so Yudhishthira Maharaj either gave them to them then, or they were taken from the kingdom before. But in other words, it was by the arrangement of you know, Krishna or Yudhishthira that they got all that. So that's going to make them indebted. So instead of having to walk back to their kingdom, right, you know, and then because they had stuff of their own, they were given that as, you know, as an honor, not as a charity. But it's not, you're a king, you have to go in a chariot, so therefore, then it's given. Does that make sense? So that has to be regarded. You want to bring somebody of position, you have to bring them according to their need, right? Does that make sense? You know, I've seen people there inviting someone respectable to lunch. You know, they live here in Mayapur, and the person's on another place in Mayapur. You know, time is short, distances are, you know, not that big, but still. They would get a car just to drive them, you know, 2 kilometers. You know what I'm saying? So stuff like that then makes the relationship work. You're respecting them for their position. You know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the kind of, that's what's going on. It's not a charity, it's a respect, because it mentions they worship them. Right? Then also in here, then we see that the order in which he took leave, right? It means Yudhishthira, then Prita, Draupadi, Subhadra. Right? So Yudhishthira, he's the head. Then after that, then you go to the head women. Right? And then that line. Then you go back and continue down the men. Right? Does that make sense? Like Prabhupada, when he said that how devotees would come up and offer flowers at the Vyasasana, like that for Vyas Puja, or, you know, like Guru Puja, then the order would be your senior men, you know, your sannyasis, your leaders of the community, you know, if they're the brahmachari, you know, like that, the celibates, then it would be your senior men of the community with their wives, they would come together, right? Then the general grihastas and their wives, then the brahmacharis and the unmarried girls, right? We don't follow that at all, like that. But that's the thing. So, someone goes. It's the you know. In other words, those men that are obviously the heads and everybody respects them, so they're going to be first. Then after that, then it'll go into the women and their line. Then they'll come back to the men and finish that. Does that make sense? You know. But in here, because it's a family that it's working here. But if you're doing generic, then it's husbands with their wives. You know, so they would come up together and offer flowers to Prabhupada. Not just all the men, then all the women. Because the brahmacharis are worried, but the brahmacharis shouldn't be worried because they're not supposed to be up there. You know, when the grihastas have finished, then the brahmacharis go. Because brahmacharis are junior to grihastas. Does that make sense? So like that. So that's the culture. You understand what's going on. Otherwise, of course, ego, one can do anything. Because right, after the ladies' line, because it's separate, because they're not out, if they're out in public, it'll be slightly different, you know. Then if it was in public, then you would deal with, you know, Arjuna, Bhima, and all them. Then you would go inside, then deal with them. Does that make sense? But here it's that some will be in, some are out. So it's Yudhishthira, then going inside, then coming back out, finishing there, and then leaving. After taking leave of Dhananjaya also, so that would be because of the friendship, then that would be done in a more intimate, less formal way, like it would be with the ladies. He set out for his own city of Dwarka, riding upon that best of cars of celestial make, possessed of the speed of the mind, and given unto him by Yudhishthira, filling the 10 points of the horizon with the deep rattle of its wheels. O bull of the Bharata race, just as Krishna was on the point of setting out, the Pandavas, with Yudhishthira at their head, walked around that tiger amongst men who was never fatigued with exertion, right? You know, it's just, it always mentions the rattle of the wheels, you know? You know, just like, you know, someone who's into cars and, you know, it's got that deep throaty kind of like rumble, you know, then you go, yeah, this is, you know, it gives you some satisfaction as it roars a bit as it goes off, you know? Like that. So in the same way as in the wheels rattle, but it's not just it's not like a tinny rattle. This is like something like thunder. Very deep, you know, heavy rumble, right? You know, so, you know, standard, you know. Your wheels don't rumble, so the engine's got to do it for you, right? So, whatever. You get it, the result. Okay, then after Krishna's going, so they circumambulate him, then he goes. If they're junior, then he circumambulates the senior. You know, if he's senior, they circumambulate, and then he goes like this. Vaishampayana said, after the illustrious Krishna, the son of Devaki, had departed from Indraprastha, having acquired that great victory and having also dispelled the fears of the kings, that feat, O Bharata, swelled the fame of the Pandavas. O king, the Pandavas passed their days continuing to gladden the heart of Draupadi. And at that time, whatever was proper and consistent with virtue, pleasure, and profit continued to be properly executed by King Yudhishthir in the exercise of his duties of protecting his subjects. Right? So here we see is that these powerful persons then are seeing to the happiness of the wife, happiness of the family. Right? They're taking care of that. So that's part of their duties. And you know, so and at that time whatever was proper and consistent with virtue, pleasure, and profit, right? So they were taking care of the citizens. So as devotees, that's their end, but the emphasis is on the devotion. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So it's not that these things are neglected, right? We'll say, oh, pleasure and profit. Oh, isn't that Maya? How much does one of your houses cost over here? Right? So has that got anything to do with Artha? I go into the house, it's just four walls and, you know, ceiling and a floor. That's what the temples were like when I joined. The only furniture in our temple was the altar, the Vyasasana, the thing that you put the book on, the bookshelf in which we sold books from, the temple president's desk, and a filing cabinet. There was absolutely no other furniture in the whole temple. Right? And people would, guests would come, and they would actually comment on how clean the place was. Right? I don't think one person in the last, you know, 20 years has ever commented on the cleanliness of our temples. Right? So what I'm saying, so all that furniture is there, what is that? You know what I'm saying? So your life is dependent. You have to have Dharma, Artha, and Kama. But the point is Dharma, Artha, and Kama are all connected to Krishna. If the Dharma is connected, so then the Artha, Kama is connected to Dharma. So then it's all nicely connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? But this balance is there. You always see it's always mentioned this balance that's consistent. Right? It was proper. Right? It's consistent, but it may or may not be proper for the time, place, and circumstance. But it's proper. It's consistent. Right? It's balanced. These words are always used as constantly. Like, you know, every so many pages, how often do we hear this about this balance of Dharma, Artha, and Kama? So that's the point, is Mahabharata didn't take it far enough. So you have that. Now, that is balanced with Krishna consciousness. Right? Dharma, Artha, Kama is balanced amongst itself, and that is balanced with Krishna consciousness. In other words, Krishna consciousness is the senior, just as Dharma is the senior of Artha and Kama. So then Dharma's senior is bhakti. Does that make sense? That's human life. That's how it works. That's how you have all these finities. You know, oh, you know, music, oh, that's Maya, you know, like that. But I guarantee I can go to everyone's house and I will find some music in their house. Right? And what is that music? Is it Indian? Maybe. Is it fully Indian? Possibly not. Right? Djembes, we must remember, are African. Right? Harmonians are French. Right? And then that's the stuff that's, you know, known about. Now what about everything else? You know what I'm saying? What about all the modern pop music? Right? So the point is it's going on. But that somehow there is just finessed. You know what I'm saying? In other words, consciously we're throwing out anything that's, you know, that's Maya, sense gratification, Artha, like this. But unconsciously we have it all. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be careful. It's standard. The Indians kicked out the British. They kept the British culture. They were supposed to throw out the Brits with their culture and practice Bhagavad Gita. That's what Mahatma Gandhi was professing. Right? But it didn't happen. They only kicked out the British and then kept the culture. So we have to be very, very careful like that also. We kick out this Western modern like this, but keep the culture. Right? So just being aware of that, then we can be more careful to keep that consistency, keep the balance. Otherwise, we'll be overwhelmed by our quote-unquote yukta vairagya. You know, it's probably more yukta, less vairagya. Right? Vairagya means it's for Krishna. It doesn't mean you don't have it. It means it's for Krishna. Does that make sense? After taking leave of Dhananjaya also, he set out for his own city of Dwarka, riding upon that best of cars of celestial make, possessed of the speed of the mind, and given unto him by Yudhishthira, filling the 10 points of the horizon with the deep rattle of its wheels. O bull of the Bharata race, just as Krishna was on the point of setting out, the Pandavas... Oh, we already read this. The Pandavas, with Yudhishthira at their head, walked around that tiger among men who was never fatigued with exertion. Vaishampayana said, and after the illustrious Krishna, the son of Devaki, had departed from Indraprastha... Okay, now we did this whole page. Okay, it's the next page. Okay. Section 25. Digvijaya Parva. Okay, so that ends the... I said the Jarasandha, killing of Jarasandha, like that. So then... So we see is that there was the opening, what was Jarasandha, his position. Then we had the pastime of the fighting with him and all that. Then the conclusion of that, you know, with all the kings and everything and how it worked out. And then it closes that chapter. You see? That's how a chapter works. You have the preliminaries, you have the actual main point of it, and you have the conclusion. Does that make sense? It's not separate chapters. You couldn't say it is there, so you could say it's three chapters. So we have the sections. It's many sections, but it's one parva. Does that make sense? So that's why it's done like this. And those are the small things with something bigger. Then those many small parvas, those 100 parvas, they make up the 18 main parvas. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So basically it's all about the war, right? So it's everything preceding the war, then the war, which is most of the parvas, and then the conclusion of it. Does that make sense? But in each of those, each one is accomplished by something. So you have the smaller parvas, and they're complete in themselves. So in other words, every action is complete in itself. You're doing part of you have the big picture of the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So you're taking part of it. You're establishing the Sambandha, but that will have its Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's always, you know, and that means then your Sambandha is complete. But then every part to complete your Sambandha, it has so many steps. Each one of those is complete. Does that make sense? So this element of completeness is always there. We're just practical, just trying to get the work done. That's nice, but if it destroys relationships, you didn't do any work. Because a result, a physically observable result isn't a result if the relationships are broken. Otherwise, if it was, why would Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I'll take the marbles off the wall and sell it. Right? Because otherwise, hey, we have Bhag Bazar Mat, you know, great Mat. You know, I don't know if you've seen it. Nicely done. Nicely done. Right? Section, okay. Digvijaya Parva. Vaishampayana said, Arjuna, having obtained that best of bows, and that couple of inexhaustible quivers, that car and flagstaff, as also that assembly house, addressed Yudhishthir, saying, right? So in other words, now he's going back on something. So this is an opening. So you know now it's going to open with something else. Right? Because you're going back into the past. Does that make sense? But you're going back into the past because there's so much in the past. But you're only touching those points that actually are going to deal with what you're going to deal with now. Right? Otherwise, it's very obvious if you talk about the past and it's moving through a particular common linear direction, the other person knows what you mean. Otherwise, you're going on and get distracted by this and that, and they're going, and so this means what? You know, why are you saying all this? Because you don't know why you're saying all this. You're just saying it. Does that make sense? So here, he's going through this. So we see is his prowess and what he's gotten and achieved in his victory. In other words, his victories and how he's achieved it. Right? So that's all being done. So that will then come up. Addressing Yudhishthir. Bow, weapons, great energy, allies, territory, fame, and army. Those, O king, difficult of acquisition, however desirable, have all been obtained by me. I think, therefore, that what should now be done is for the swelling up of our treasury. I desire, O best of monarchs, to make the kings of the earth pay tributes to us. I desire to set out in an auspicious moment of a holy day, of the moon, under a favorable constellation, for the conquest of the direction that is presided over by the Lord of Treasures, namely the north. Right? Right? He's Dhananjaya. He brings back, you know, treasure. So he wants to go in towards the north, which is where treasure's from, you know, and doing it then at the auspicious time. So we see here he's given the field. I have bow, you know, weapons, armory, everything like that. Army, right? That's going to take a while. I got the right affix on it. And so then, with that, then he's saying, so I want to get to swell the, you know, my, so this is what I have. The result I want to get is increase our treasury. And the process I'm going to use is make kings, you know, pay tribute. So then how that's going to be done is then by going to the north. Does that make sense? So we see it's a complete presentation. Samanda Abhideya Payojana R. Vaishampayana said, continued, King Yudhishthira the just, hearing these words of Dhananjaya, replied unto him in a grave and collected tone, saying, O bull of the Bharata race, set thou out, having made holy Brahmins utter benedictions on thee, to plunge thy enemies in sorrow and to fill thy friend with joy. Victory, O son of Prita, will surely be thine, and thou wilt surely obtain thy desires fulfilled. Thus addressed, Arjuna, surrounded by a large host, army, set out in that celestial car of wonderful achievements he had obtained from Agni. Bhimsen also, and those bulls amongst men, the twins, dismissed with affection by Yudhishthir the just, set out each at the head of a large army. And Arjuna, the son of the chastiser of Paka, then brought under subjugation that direction, the north, which was presided over by the Lord of Treasures. Bhimsena overcome by force the east, Sahadev the south, and Nakula, O king, acquainted with all weapons, conquered the west. Thus, while his brothers were so employed, the exalted King Yudhishthir the just stayed within Kandavaprastha in the enjoyment of great affluence in the midst of friends and relatives. Bhagadatta, hearing this, said, O thou who hast Kunti for thy mother, as thou art to me, so is Yudhishthir also. I shall do all this. Tell me what else I may do for thee. Right, so that's the east. So that's a chant. That's interesting. Oh, okay. That's section 26. Vaishampayana continued. Thus addressed, Dhananjaya replied unto Bhagadatta, saying, if thou wilt give thy promise to do this, thou hast done all I desire. We're missing something here. Because Bhagadatta hearing this, but we didn't hear what he heard. Okay. he heard something. And he's willing to do it. That's what's important. And having thus subjugated the king of Pramjyotisha, Dhananjaya of long arms, the son of Kunti, then marched towards the north. The direction presided over by the Lord of Treasures. So it seems north means everything in the north. So you're taking India, so that would be, north would most likely be north of the Ganga, like that. So then he went there, or along the Himalayas, you know, like before when he went out and then skirted the bottom of the Himalayas, went over to Manipur, you know, this place where Bhagavata is. Then from there, then he went south. But so he went over to there, and then from there now he's going north, and he'll go up into the Himalayas and across whatever's up there. That bull amongst men, that son of Kunti, then conquered the mountainous tracts and their outskirts, as also the hilly regions. Having conquered all the mountains and the kings that reigned there, bringing them under his sway, he exacted tributes from all. And winning the affections of those kings and uniting himself with them, he next marched, O king, against Vrihanta, the king of Uluka, making this earth tremble with the sound of his drums and clatter of his chariot wheels and the roar of the elephants in his train. Like that. Right. So that means he had a train that was there and all the elephants were on is that what it means? Yeah. Right? Means, you know, he was in the van and the elephants were on the train. Right? And everybody else had to walk, right? Yes? No? Then? Yes, it means the train just means a long line of, like, so the elephants are there in the train, and then Arjuna, you know, or his commanders, the Brahmins, they're in the van, right? Like that. So vans have always been popular, right? So that's Vrihanta, however, quickly coming out of a city, followed by his army consisting of four kinds of troops, gave battle to Falguna, Arjuna. The fight that took place between Vrihanta and Dhananjaya was terrible. It so happened that Vrihanta was unable to bear the prowess of the son of Pandu. Then that invincible king of the mountainous regions, regarding the son of Kunti irresistible, approached him with all his wealth. Arjuna snatched out the kingdom from Vrihanta, but having made peace with him, marched, accompanied by that king, against Sainavindu, whom he soon expelled from his kingdom. After this, he subjugated Modapura, Vamanadev, Sudaman, Shushankula, the northern Ulukas, and the kings of those countries and people. Hereafter, at the command of Yudhishthira, O monarch, Arjuna did not move from the city of Sainavindu, but sent his troops only, and brought under his sway those five countries and peoples. For Arjuna, having arrived at Devaprastha, the city of Sainavindu, took up his quarters there with his army consisting of four kinds of forces. What kinds of forces are that? G forces, whatever else?
Infantry, cavalry, chariots, and elephants.
Yes, okay. Okay. That's not, you know, G force, brute force, or, you know, that kind of, any other kind of force.
Air force.
Huh? Air force, yes. And then. Huh?
The force.
The force. Okay. Ah, yes. Yes. Well, it appears that the force was with him. Then, surrounded by the kings and the peoples he had subjugated, the hero marched against King Vishwagashva, that bull of Puru's race. Having vanquished in battle the brave mountaineers, who were all great warriors, the son of Pandu, O king, then occupied with the help of his troops the town protected by the Puru king. Having vanquished in battle the Puru king, as also the robber tribes of the mountains, The son of Pandu brought under his sway the seven tribes called Utsava Sanketa. That bull of the Kshatriya race then defeated the brave Kshatriyas of Kashmir and also King Loha along with 10 minor chiefs. Right? It's got an A here, Kashmira. But it's always been that. So in other words, he went, from there, went up and going along the Himalayas. Like you have Nepal, so he had so many kings all along there, all the way over to Kashmir. Then the Trigartas, the Dharavas, the Kokandas, and various other Kshatriyas. So Trigartas are also north. Then the Trigartas, Dharavas, and Kokandas, and various other Kshatriyas, O king, advanced against the son of Pandu. That prince of the Kuru race then took the delightful town of Abhishari, and then brought under his sway Rochamana, ruling in Uraga. Then the son of Indra, Arjuna, putting forth his might, pressed the delightful town of Shinghapura, that was well protected with various weapons. Then that bull amongst the sons of Pandu, Arjuna, at the hand of all his troops, fiercely attacked the regions called Shumha and Sumala. The son of Indra, endued with great prowess, after pressing them with great force, brought the Vahalikas, always difficult of being vanquished, under his sway. Then Falguna, the son of Pandu, taking with him a select force, defeated the Daradas, along with the Kambojas. Then the exalted son of Indra vanquished the robber tribes that dwelt in the northeastern frontier, and those also that dwelt in the woods. O great king, the son of Indra also subjugated the allied tribes of the Lohas, the eastern Kambojas, and northern Rikshikas. The battle of the Rikshikas was fierce in the extreme. Indeed, the fight took place between them, and the son of Prita was equal to that between the gods and the Asuras, in which Taraka, the wife of Brihaspati, had become the cause of so much slaughter. Right, the second time she's mentioned. So this is Taraka was that the time she was taken by the moon? Is that anyone knows? You didn't learn the planets? Oh, that's the other book. Okay. Defeating, O king, right, so it wasn't that, Helen was the only one that there was a big battle over right here. So Taraka was before that. Defeating, O king, the Rikshikas in the field of battle, Arjuna took from them as tribute 8 horses that were the color of the parrot's breast, and also other horses of the hues of the peacock, born in the northern and other climes. Right, so that means bright, like fluorescent green horses. Pretty far out. Okay, one more sentence. At last, having conquered all the Himalayas and the Nishkuta Mountains, that bull among men arrived at the White Mountains and camped on its breast. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. So today's Tuesday, on Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitāya Gaura Prema Nandini.